Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our bracket rundown show, recording it here live on tape delay on March 7th, 2019 at about 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, Matt Zukowski, Joby Fortson, John Titel, and via audio only from God knows where in the United States of America, David Griggs might be with us, partially at least.
Right. Well, you won't let me out of the... We're having technical issues in the bunker here. This is another reason you should let me out.
Is that a vacuum I hear in the background there?
I think you might be getting vacuumed up. You know, those puppets are can get right caught up in those vacuum machines. Let's go over what we're going to be doing tonight. Tonight we are going to be revealing a bracket or a consensus bracket. What I've done is asked everybody on our panel, other than Stalica, who was a little late in his submission, unfortunately, but asked everybody on our panel to submit their top 55 teams of the nation, ranked 1 through 55. I then went ahead and cross-country scored those and basically came up with a consensus 1 through 55 list, took that, used it to build an NCAA tournament bracket. We have a bunch of terms we're going to be using tonight that includes terms like protected seeds and first ballot teams. Can you tell everyone what those are?
Well, protected seeds would be teams in the top four seed line. So that would be the first 16 teams in the NCAA tournament that are automatically assigned to sites throughout the country. The term first ballot is for teams that are going to be voted in via the selection committee. So they all get at least 8 out of 10 votes from everyone who sends up to 36 teams that they would vote into the NCAA tournament as at-large, no matter what they do in their conference tournaments. Puppet, would you please turn that vacuum down? And then we'll listen to
you. Yeah, we got a little feedback coming from your vacuum cleaner there, David.
A vacuum cleaner. Never mind.
I'm going to go ahead and pull up on the screen here the screen we're going to be using today. This is a blank bracket here that we're going to be filling.
See it. It's dark. I can't see it.
You know what? Let's keep going, despite the fact that David is stuck in the vacuum cleaner, can't see a thing. Let's keep going and actually start revealing some teams here. I'm going to start by going through the first 16 teams here one at a time, and we're going to discuss them. I'm going to have a few of you discuss, you know, whether or not you felt this team end up in our consensus bracket being near where you would have had them personally or not. And if you would not have them there, why not? But the number one team overall was almost unanimous. It actually was not completely unanimous. The number one team overall, Joby, was your Virginia, Virginia team there.
Well, they were number one on my list, and it wasn't even a homer play at all. The reason why is because they are right now, as we speak, the number one seed in the ACC tournament. Win at Carolina. The only losses are to Duke, an impressive win over Syracuse in the week. The road wins are piling up in a very impressive fashion, even out of conference away from home, Maryland, Wisconsin, and are looking like stronger wins. Wisconsin winning again tonight. This is the number one team in the country for now, but let me put a little cautionary note on it. Virginia, because I think we're going to see some other ACC teams pretty quick. Virginia is not guaranteed a one. If they lose to Louisville this weekend and do not win the ACC tournament, I think that they will be the team that is knocked off the one seed by an SEC double or an SEC tournament champion, depending if Tennessee or Kentucky can pull that feat.
Well, Titel, do you agree with that? Do you think that Virginia could drop all the way off of the one line entirely, despite the fact that we're calling them number one overall right now?
Anything's possible. Like, I think the ACC champ is almost a lock for number one, the tourney champ. I think the SEC tourney champ is a near lock. I think Gonzaga winning out is a near lock. And then the fourth one is up for grabs amongst many, many teams. Possible, but unlikely, I'll go with.
Let me show the number two overall team, and that was probably no surprise. Matt, let me bring you in here. The Duke Blue Devils, number two overall.
This is the first – I had them at number two this week. This is the first week I've moved them off number one because, man, the life without Zion has been kind of ugly lately. But I think they'll get him back. But for now – and Virginia is so impressive. I couldn't keep them ahead of Virginia. But I still like them more than everyone else because when healthy, I think they are the best or second best team. And I know they lost head-to-head, who's probably going to be our number three overall. But I still like their overall body of work that much more that I can ignore and not fully take into account a neutral court loss.
David, let me see if we can go to you here again. I think you were the one person that thought Duke was number one overall.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's what they've done against the one line, particularly the team that everybody else has as the overall number one. Now, I realize that beating Wake Forest by a point at home on a shot that really should have gone in for Wake is going to give you pause. But overall, Duke's profile is just the best. And I think their team is the best when they're at full strength.
Yeah, and David, if we could just have you speak up a little bit louder here going forward, but let me go over to Stilico as we go to the number three overall team here, and I don't think it's any surprise, Stilico, the Gonzaga Bulldogs number three overall.
Not a surprise, and as I've said before on a prior podcast, I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference depending on whether Duke or Gonzaga ultimately end up as number two or number three overall, since they would likely meet each other in the Final Four anyway. It's just a matter of who would be wearing white. But at the same time, I do have to thank Titel for bringing the statistic of Gonzaga beating everyone in their conference by double digits for the first time since UNLV back in 1991.
Titel, you mentioned earlier that the biggest debate I think we have here is for who the fourth one seed is. I'm going to go ahead and reveal who our consensus pick was, and it was not a consensus by any means. There were three different teams thrown in here, but we did end up with Tennessee on the one line. Do you agree with that?
For now, I do. They're coming off the huge win against Kentucky in the past week, and LSU and Kentucky, in terms of the SEC, have seemed average at best. The whole point, though, is like much like the bracket reveal that the real committee did, in February, this is just a moment in time kind of thing. And I think that we would all agree that if LSU or Kentucky can beat Tennessee in the SEC tournament, that a one seed is within their possibility. I assume Joby would agree that if North Carolina can sweep those two teams, then they might end up with a number one seed.
Yep.
Yeah, Joby, both Tennessee and Kentucky did get votes for the one line, in fact, here. I'm sorry. And both Kentucky and North Carolina got votes here. So what about the idea of three ACC teams on the top line?
I did have the three ACC teams, but that's why, because of what Titel said, in this moment in time, I have all three ACC teams ahead of me. I do not think that's because we have not crowned an SEC champ and we have not crowned an SEC tournament champ. I fully expect that plus to pass, like I said, an ACC team who is not either a regular season champ or a tournament champ. That includes all three of those teams. That's why I mentioned the Virginia-Louisville loss, a loss there. And, you know, then all of a sudden they're not the one seed in the tournament, either Duke or Carolina, the winner of the Duke-Carolina game is. At that point, you're looking very much then that tournament means everything for Virginia. It means everything for the loser this weekend.
Now, I will say there is precedent for getting three teams from a conference into the three number one seeds, because the Big East in 2009, they had Pitt in the East region, they had UConn in the West region, and Louisville in the Midwest region.
Well, and then we had the Mullen, you know, they had Georgetown, you know, Georgetown, St. John's, and
Villanova.
It was Villanova. Thank you. Yeah. Villanova is the top three seeds that one year. So
they outmade the Final Four. Villanova was actually an eighth seed.
Sorry, that's right. Villanova's an eighth seed. Sorry, I'll be quiet.
David, let me see if I can get you in here again. What about Kentucky as a one seed?
That was who I had. And again, I went back and forth between them and Tennessee. But when you top Kentucky out, I just think that they top out a little bit higher. The win in North Carolina, who you all were just talking about, not at North Carolina, but against North Carolina, looks really good. And then they won at Louisville. It's just the sheer volume of wins away from home that are one seed caliber wins. I just think Kentucky's done a little bit more. But a very strong case could be made for Tennessee.
Yeah, and I just pulled both those profiles up there on the screen, and we could see Yeah. Actually, Tyson, let me go back to you real quick here. You can see that Kentucky does have more of those, I guess we call the 1A wins, the ones above that line there. Those are wins against basically the top half of the quadrant one. Below that line in quadrant one is what we call 1B wins. More of those even than Tennessee does. So isn't there a good case for Kentucky over Tennessee?
Yes, except if you like the fact that they split, then you can look at some other metrics. I mean, there is a good case, like you said. What I find amusing is the similarities in terms of Louisville being in the Tier 1A for each of those. What's funny, if you look at Louisville, which I assume we'll get to much later in the show, they've lost to, like, every single top team in the field. Virginia, Duke, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida State, Virginia, like, Virginia, they lost to everybody.
It's called strength of schedule. Come on.
Yeah.
let's go ahead and start looking at some of the teams here on the two line, though. Matt, let me start with you. Number five overall, according to our consensus here, ended up being Kentucky, in fact, beating out North Carolina, who I guess it's no surprise. Let me bring them also here. Number six overall, Carolina. These are the teams we've just been discussing, though.
Yeah, and I think actually it's these six for the four. I don't think LSU, I think, could do the double, and still I don't think their profile is quite strong enough. They probably would be at two in that scenario. I don't think they can jump on the one line. I think it's these six teams and these six teams only at this point for the spots. And actually, I think Virginia's pretty much locked in. And Duke fairly close to locked in, although I guess if Duke wins neither, they might be in the hair of trouble. But I think it's six for four, and it really might be four for two.
Right. And it's kind of funny. Beyond these six, I think – while the order switched up for a few of us, the next two teams were a consensus who the two teams were. Let me reveal them both at the same time, Stalika. Not a big shock. Both Big Ten teams here, Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, not surprising that Michigan State would be up here. And Michigan, even though I suppose the Spartans have had a couple of head-scratching losses, it's still not enough that it would knock them off the two line right now. And I still believe Michigan, for example, they're only loss at home was against the aforementioned Spartans, but now they will have one more matchup in East Lansing on Saturday. This should ultimately determine who's going to have the upper hand among those two teams.
Yeah, Joby, can the winner of that game, if they then also win the Big Ten tournament, move up above the into the top six there? Is there
they need a lot of help. They need – it starts with – the SEC and ACC blowing up, maybe a random Florida State winner in the tournament, or a random, you know, maybe they can stay ahead of LSU. You know, if LSU wins the tournament and they one team takes all the goodies, you know, from the other. But I think what the panel has said to date is the most realistic scenario, that you're looking at those six teams, and it probably is drawn from those six teams because you need. They need a lot of help, and I don't think there's a reason why these top six are the top six. It's going to be tough to give them a lot of help.
Right. Matt, let me go to you as we go to beyond the top two lines here, because this is where it's the debate started opening up a lot more. Number nine overall ended up being LSU. Do you agree with that?
No, actually, one team we haven't mentioned that much in this range, I had Texas Tech as my number nine team, because I think they're the best team of that. I know their resume probably isn't still quite the strongest, but LSU resume-wise is probably next in line after these eight. Their profile, yeah, the resumes need. I don't love their team quite as much now. Grant, I haven't watched them a ton. The one game I watched them, like the full game, Tremont Waters didn't play, and they won anyway against Tennessee. But I'm not in love with them. To where, like, I think a couple of teams we haven't mentioned yet, probably from the state of Texas, I like them as a little more as teams.
Well, let me try David again here. David, what about this LSU Texas? What about Texas Tech? Do they belong up here at the top of the two line, despite the, you know, they don't quite have the quality of wins that LSU does with the Tennessee and Kentucky victories, do they?
Well, to me, that's the difference, is that, like, their wins just aren't as good. And I know LSU doesn't always play up to their season ceiling. They've had to sweat out some teams, but so has Texas Tech. And I think Texas Tech is better than their profile. But even, like, if you're just seeing them based on their profile, could you even make a case that they should even be a four?
Well, Tytel, you're our selection committee guessing expert. Do you look beyond the profile when you're guessing what the committee does, or do you just look flat at the profile in a debate like this?
Depends on what you mean. So if you're talking about the eye test, I can assure you that after talking to selection committee member Mike O'Brien the other day, no, that is a thing of the past. He did talk about the intent to schedule, which is to say, if Texas Tech scheduled a team like West Virginia, well, that's a bad example because they're in the same conference.
No.
If LSU scheduled Memphis,
UCLA,
who is supposed to be good, and they're not, then that shouldn't penalize LSU because their intent was to schedule a good Memphis team, but they shouldn't be penalized for Memphis being underwhelming this year.
Okay.
I think Memphis is better than people thought they were going to be this year.
Another bad example.
UCLA. Just throw out UCLA.
Yeah, I like Arizona.
Pac-12.
Arizona, anybody on the Pac-12, really. Yeah. But the number 10 team overall actually wasn't even Texas Tech yet, Sleek. It ended up being the Houston Cougars, who, as we record this, are up 13 on SMU and looking to pick up just yet another win tonight.
And that would be one of the reasons why I highlighted Houston here, because they do have the head-to-head win against LSU. And they did have their home court winning streak broken against Central Florida. But as we saw tonight, the Knights – pretty much solidified their bid to the dance with back-to-back wins against Houston and Cincinnati. So no shame in the Cougars losing that one.
Yeah.
And Tytel at number 11 overall behind LSU and Houston, that's where he finally brought Texas Tech in here.
That makes a good point. I mean, the Red Raiders are rolling. I don't think anybody thought they'd be this good, even though they were this good last year, just because they lost so much talent. But with Derek Culver and Chris Beard, they have something really special going on. I don't think they're locked into a 3 seed, but they're playing like a 3 seed, arguably a 2 seed. And I would not want to face them in the Big 12 tournament. I think they would arguably be the favorite.
They are right now tied with the conference lead there with Kansas State. And as we pull up the number 12 team overall, though, it is not Kansas State. Joby, it's actually the Purdue Boilermakers, our third Big 10 team already.
Yeah, and Purdue stumbled this week, but, you know, they've really recovered from what was a moribund preseason in a lot of ways. This is not a – I think it's a pretty solid call. Purdue, I think, is on par, even though they lost this week with the Michigan schools and what's happened. Their resume isn't because of the preseason, but the Boilermakers, boiler up, they've been solid. A 3 seed makes sense to me, though – I can hear arguments for Kansas State strongly all day, especially let's see what happens this weekend. And if K-State's the outright winner of the Big 12 by winning this weekend and Tech losing randomly, then, hey, okay, K-State, certainly.
Yeah, number 13 overall behind Purdue, it was not Kansas State either, but was a surprisingly fast-rising Florida State team fresh off a nice win over Virginia Tech. Matt, your thoughts on that FSU team?
That's exactly where I have them too. I think I probably like them a little as a team. I think they've been a little more consistent than K-State all the year. While they're now fourth in the ACC instead of tied for first in the Big 12. I think out of conference, that might be the difference. If Florida State was that much better out of conference. They got the neutral court win over LSU. They got the win over Purdue. Then Kansas State just has nothing on their non-conference resume. So that's why I had Florida State as the top 4 seed myself.
David, if I can bring you back in here, is this like Florida State and Virginia Tech almost seem to be the two forgotten teams in the ACC with Virginia, Duke, and Carolina up top there?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. These are potential protected seeds, yet they're sort of overlooked. I mean, I guess that's just the ACC for you. I really like this Florida State team. I know that you got to keep in mind when you look at their profile and you look at where they are in the conference. They started off 1-4, so they sort of started off, you know, behind the rest of the pack and had to catch up and land where they are. So, and I know you have to look at the whole season, but this is a team that is playing really well and has been for the last couple of months. It's dark. It's really dark in here.
We'll see if we can get you out of the vacuum cleaner at some point here. But let's go over a couple more teams first. We've got to have our priorities, David. Tytel, Kansas State finally coming in at number 14 overall. Do you think this team is a protected seed? And do you think that they are, you know, sitting here as the second best team in the Big 12, out of the Big 12?
I think they definitely are the second best team in the Big 12 and on any given night could be the top team. It's a shame that they get sent out west to San Jose rather than getting to stick around the Midwest somewhere. And I don't like their chances against Duke if Zion is healthy. If he's hurt and Dean Wade is playing like the preseason Big 12 player of the year that he is in the Midwest, that becomes a very interesting Sweet 16 game.
That could be a real fun one, actually. I mean, this Kansas State team is, I thought, would be even better than this year. Joe, you had a comment?
I'm looking at the regional final if the seeds play out. The most memorable college basketball game ever revisited for like the 10th time. I know they've done it several times since, but a lot of Christian Laettner.
This will be in Louisville instead of Philadelphia. And yeah. You know, in Louisville, you know, they may be all ready for Duke there. Who knows?
There has been a lot of sentiment that a lot of people should be rooting in the ACC land, you know, your Virginias, your Dukes, your North Carolinas. You do not want to be the one seed in a two-seeded Kentucky region because, call me nuts, I think that those red seats in that red arena will be very blue when it comes to that game.
Matt, number 15 overall behind Florida State, Kansas State, was another Big 12 team that this might be a little bit of controversy. Kansas making it in as a protected seed despite the way that they have been playing since the injuries.
Yeah, I still had them there. I mean, it's their overall profile. They'd probably actually be a 2 or 3 seed just based on their overall profile. Yeah. Although now the road neutral is getting dinged a bit because they only can beat you on the road if you're Oklahoma State.
Yeah, David, I'm going to try to bring you back in here again. When you look at Kansas, they've got wins over Tennessee.
Kansas is dark in here.
You can't see Kansas. Well, David, I will tell you that their profile says they've got wins away from home against Tennessee, Michigan State, Baylor, Marquette. Yeah. They've got lots of good wins.
Well, they don't have the true road wins, and they got all of that before they lost as a pro team. I mean, they just got blasted by Oklahoma. And they just haven't looked that good on the road. Now, at home, they are great. So, yeah, that looks like a 5 seed to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tytel, also about this Kansas team here, though, they've got something here. When you look up in this on the top of the team sheet here, if this was last year in RPI, they'd be the number one team in the nation. They have the number one strength of schedule. They have the number one non-conference strength of schedule. Those are a lot of ones to be putting on the 4 line.
Tons of ones. I know my good friends in Indiana have a lot of ones as well, but obviously that doesn't make a full resume, and they're bad on the road because all their losses are on the road, so a bit of a home court hero. I have them right around the 4 line, so I think this is a good thing, and if the committee does like strength of schedule, which I think they do, I think you make a good argument, so I think we have them right.
If you're keeping count at home, that's 18 out of a possible 30 games that's in Tier 1 for Kansas.
That is an impressive schedule. And they've said that, hey, we want to look at the whole body of work, but we've also got to look at this is not – the team that won the most of those games is not the team that's going to be on the floor in the tournament.
But at least while they are turning into the home court hero, at least they are a hero on the home court. You know, it's not like they're letting those games go. They're beating really good Big 12 teams, even without Azubuike. At home, we'll see on a neutral side, or at least somewhat neutral side, as we all know, how this turns out in the tournament. That I think a lot of people will be eyeing them for that very purpose.
Well, sneaking into our final sweet top 16 seed here, it was Marquette at number 16 overall. Stalica about beating out of teams like Wisconsin out of the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on the overall 16 teams we ended up with here?
And that wasn't me either.
Honestly, I would hate to piss someone like Matt off, but I probably would have had Wisconsin a couple spots ahead of Marquette, especially given that the Golden Eagles have now lost 3 straight and either going to be facing a desperate Georgetown team or Marquette is going to be angry enough they're going to do awful awful things to the Hoyas come this year.
Yeah.
Ladder.
Matt, you don't agree with these 16 teams then?
No, and it's my guys. And for objectivity, I have our old Uncle Buzz ahead of us. And that doesn't make me feel good about saying that, but trying to do this objectively, I do have Virginia Tech ahead of us at number 16.
And Joby, if this field ended up being the actual field, I'm sorry, your Virginia team number one overall, but I think we put them in the region of death there with Kansas, Michigan, and LSU.
I would take that over being Duke, because I wouldn't want to play Kentucky in the regional finals if things came out. I'd actually take that, a hampering, a limping Kansas team. LSU's good, and Michigan can win in the tournament, but you know, take your chances with the winner of that game. Well, take your chances with the winner of the 16 play-in game if you're Virginia.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and we're going to reveal one full seed line at a time from here on out. Tytel, I'm going to throw up the number 5 seeds here. No surprise that Wisconsin's in there, also joined by Virginia Tech, Maryland, and Villanova. Do you agree with those 4 teams?
We got way too many Wildcats in the South region, but I'll let it slide.
We do. We have 3 Wildcats in there now, don't we?
Sucks for Wisconsin. Nice for Wisconsin to get to enjoy some weather in Jacksonville. Sad that Florida State will be waiting there for them. And Marquette, Virginia Tech. Matt, what do we think about that one?
I like the idea of that a little bit more about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. David, that Virginia Tech team that we mentioned a little earlier also did not make the top 16.
What?
David? Virginia Tech did not make the top 16. Do you think that they are very close to being there also?
Maybe. I don't think I had them up there, but I mean, they're really close.
Well, Joby, real quick, how about Maryland sitting there in 5 seed? Just a very solid team.
I think Maryland is exactly where they should be at. They are at 5. I think, and I don't remember who they play this weekend, so I apologize. But assuming they play out the string just normally, they're a 5. I don't see much upward trajectory for them beyond winning the Big Ten tournament, but I also don't see downward. You know, some teams have a lot of flexibility. Like, people are going to be eyeing Kansas, and people are, you know, for the questions. I think Maryland's what you got. They're a very solid team who, you know, hey, watch out in that 5-12 game, Maryland. But sure, yeah, this is – look at the solid road wins as we pull them up on the screen.
Minnesota at home this weekend.
Besides Iowa and Ohio State, you know, a couple of them are out of the tournament, but still, it's good. The losses, you know, Illinois, you know, but nothing else really jumps out as awful, awful, especially with Penn State showing resurgence and finally getting one. So this is a solid resume, not spectacular, but hey, good for the Terps. You know, I think they're definitely where they belong to be. It's Wisconsin that I think has the chance to move up, especially after sweeping Iowa tonight.
Matt, the 6 line should be coming up on the screen right now. And starting in the East region, reading across, we have Iowa State, Cincinnati, Mississippi State, and Louisville there. So Louisville did get in on the 6 line at least, but your thoughts on those 4 teams?
I'm good with 3 of the 4. I guess I'm the Buffalo lover here. I actually had Buffalo at the bottom of my 5 line.
Okay.
And I would definitely have him on the 6 over Cincinnati, I think. And okay, even maybe Mississippi State now.
Now we did cast these votes before any games were played tonight. Would tonight's results, Tytel, would that change your thoughts on where Cincinnati is?
I defer to John S. as always, but my guess is if you lose at a good UCF team by a possession, that it's not going to hurt you too bad, right?
Salika?
I would have made the case that Cincinnati could have been on the 6 line had they won at Central Florida. So with that loss, I probably would have kept them around the 7 line right here.
And I had Cincinnati as a 5 on our submission. Now I think they are a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, Louisville, do you think that they are a 6 now? I know you wanted them at about the 3 seed last week, so –
I think they're about a 6, which is, you know, they have really, really good wins. Like, if you top them out, you look at the wins, it's protected seed caliber. But when the losses that they have kind of drag it down, and then just how many of them there are. I think they've lost 11 games, but a 5 or a 6 sounds about right. I think that's what the committee's going to do with them. But you could make the case, just based on the top of their profile, that they should be better than that.
And I just want to make a quick note here. It was just a week or so ago, we had Iowa State up in the protected seed range. This is a team that is heading in the wrong direction very fast at the end of the season here.
And it's also worth noting that if they lose at home to Texas Tech, they'll suddenly be 500 in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot closer to being wearing dark jerseys than being a protected seed at this point, the way that team, the Cyclones, are going, unfortunately. But let me turn off David's vacuum cleaner here for a second. There we go. And Salika, I just pulled up the 7 seeds. We mentioned Buffalo. They're there. This is kind of the almost the mid-major line here. We got Buffalo, Nevada, Wofford, and Iowa, who I guess is not really mid-major, but the other three might be.
We don't necessarily know the order that Buffalo and Wofford are in here, but I don't think either one is going to complain about being this high. And I know Joby has to be thrilled that none of these teams are in a potential 1-8 matchup in the second round in Columbia, especially if it were Wofford in Virginia.
I agree.
And so Wofford, North Carolina, as you know, so we send them to play the Tar Heels. How about that,
Joby? And they played already plenty of times over the years. And are very familiar with each other. You got to still go with Carolina, given the most recent history, but those games have been tight and a lot of fun, and boy, wouldn't it be great if that actually were to occur.
And, Matt, you really like Buffalo, but what about the other two teams here, Nevada and Iowa?
I think I actually might have had Nevada right at the bottom of my 7 or top of my 8 line, okay. In that they have less on their profile than Buffalo and Wofford. And I guess you could say the intent to schedule of that, but bottom line, they only have a quad one win now, or if they do, it's only because they basically dragged Utah State up into quad one.
Well, you mentioned intent to schedule. Tytel, you're the one that had the conversation with the committee member here. But if I look at intent to schedule, look at that. I mean, Arizona State was supposed to be better than they are. USC was supposed to be competitive. Even Utah and Tulsa, those were not bad scheduling. Loyola Chicago, a Final Four team. Is that intent to schedule?
You can make the argument. I'm leaning no. And the New Mexico loss, like, that's one of the most glaring, inexplicable losses I've seen all season. I have to give Joby credit because I think it was earlier this week, I tried to convince everybody that Utah State is really in the field. And he called me out and said, you know, John, they have Nevada and nothing else. He's right. Like, I think they might make it, but he's right. Like, their profile is not a turning profile today.
And we will be talking about Utah State here in a little bit, but not for a couple of lines here. But let's move on to a couple.
My votes not count.
At least a couple, Joby. Let's put it that way. Salika, the 8 seeds. We've got Ole Miss, Auburn, Baylor, and Syracuse. We're going back to power conference teams that are, very mediocre at this point.
Baylor is a team that you think would be rising, but when you're losing to Oklahoma State, there is going to be a little bit of a recency bias that factors in there, especially with 2 quad 4 losses. But I think I'd also noted in one of the daily write-ups, Baylor and Arizona State now have the same dubious distinction of having wins and losses in all 4 quadrants now. But by the same token, I think Auburn also belongs up here because while they don't have anything that's truly offensive as far as losses, they really don't have any signature wins that are going to drive them much higher at this point.
I got to give David his 3 seconds on Auburn. I pulled the profile up, which has if you count tier 1 and 2, they've got a ton of wins. That's all I got to say.
Auburn. Okay, like, I still don't like them this much, but I got to say, they win at Alabama. They have done some stuff. 2 weeks ago, they had nothing. Now they have something. I can actually live with them right here.
Wow.
This is about where I am.
You had them a little bit lower than this, but I know you're out. You've been prejudiced against them. But, Tytel, when you look at it, yeah, they only have 2 quadrant 1 wins, but they have so much in quadrant 2. I think more than anybody in the country almost.
Yes, and I think that this is where finally we have a good example of the intended schedule. Arizona, neutral site, beating them by 16 points. In the intent to schedule, that would be like a tier 1A win. Obviously, not so much for my Cats this year, but You should get a lot of credit for that. And the only thing crazier than Joe B having Florida in his field, which we'll see, is having David like Auburn on this line. That's amazing.
Matt, I'm going to go ahead and pull up the 9 seed so we can see some potential first-round matchups as well here. Ole Miss's potential opponent would be VCU, Auburn, UCF, Baylor, Washington, Syracuse, Oklahoma. Your thoughts on those four teams making in at this point?
Yeah, I like VCU at Central Florida in this line, and I think I had Oklahoma right on the border of a 9 or 10. I did not have Washington this high because their profile isn't much, and man, that loss to Cal, that jumped me about 2-3 seeds for them to where I have them right with like Belmont and Lipscomb among the other mid-majors that have some nice things, but I think the 9 line's too high for them.
Titel, I got to bring you in on Washington because we – you know, you just discussed that unbelievably bad loss by Nevada to New Mexico. Way, way down here. We've got to scroll down. Isn't this even worse? Isn't this even more inexplicable?
That has to be, I agree. Like, the New Mexico-Nevada upset is bigger only because of the score differential, but just on sheer amount, as Matt said, of, like, the best team in the conference losing to a winless worst team in the conference. But the loss that really keys my eye on the Washington profile is the one at the very top. They were this close to beating Gonzaga on the road. If they win that game, they're like, I think they're like maybe a 5, probably like a 6-7. But the fact is, when you lose to Cal, like Matt says, like it's hard to drop a team multiple seed lines, but that's what happens when you lose to Cal.
It is, but they are still the first place team, especially if they can win the conference tournament as well. Well, obviously they're in at that point, but I think. I guess the question here, Slika, is this team solidly in at this point, even if they don't win the conference tournament?
I think if Washington doesn't win the conference tournament, I think they're okay as long as their loss would come either against Arizona State in the championship or, I suppose, even a team like Oregon or Oregon State in the semifinals, as long as they have, season sweeps against the Ducks and the Beavers. But one thing I highlighted for the Huskies, they have a non-conference strength of schedule of 17. So unlike an NC State, for example, I think there is some intent to schedule as far as the Huskies, but their problem is with Gonzaga, Virginia Tech, Auburn, Arizona, Auburn, and Minnesota, they did not win any of those games. Their highest non-conference win was Texas A&M, which isn't going to be good enough.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's – I would argue maybe the Western Kentucky win is a better win than that. But let's take a look at the – what are we up to here? The 10 line. And I'm going to try to bring David back in again. David, the 10 seeds we're seeing here is Texas, who's going to get Iowa, St. John's, who's going to get Buffalo, Minnesota, who's going to get Nevada, and Ohio State, who gets Wofford.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. This is the 10 line?
The 10 line. Texas, St. John's, Mini, and Ohio State.
Okay, I'm sitting here in the dark, and there's a man with a leaf blower in here. You all had Washington on the 9 line?
Hey, don't talk to me, David. I had him on the 11 line myself.
I had him on the 11. They lost to Cal, and they've beaten a couple NIT teams. Yeah, let's give him a 9. Anyway, all 4 of those I like better than Washington.
Okay. Joby, is there anybody that we've missed so far? We're 10 lines into this. We're 40 teams in.
Not a glaring one. I did have Seton Hall on my 10 after the win. I feel like we're getting picky. The team that, ironically, that the Hall would have been ahead on my seed line was Central Florida, who I had as my top 11. My hat's off to all you Karnak people who foresaw the game tonight, because I can't disagree with them as a 9 right now after beating Cincinnati. So, you know, plain and simple.
Titel, I got to ask you about
Texas Longhorns. Had them here, but the debate on overall record at 16-14 is worth having. They are tenuous because of that overall record. They need to beat TCU. You know, because, you know, they need it, plain and simple. It's in Austin. I think TCU is fading. They should get it and knock TCU out of the tournament. It's kind of a play-in game situation. But you can't be 16-15 entering your conference tournament because all of a sudden you're 16 and 15 entering. You win one, you lose one. 17, 16, you're not in.
Given that TCU only seems to be capable of beating Iowa State, I don't see the Longhorns tripping up and losing that game. But as Joby pointed out, you certainly don't want to be farting around with the Horned Frogs either.
Yeah.
Now, we go back a year ago, they were basically in this exact same spot, and they beat a pretty good West Virginia team. It was at home. But, like, I think they did that last year, and I think they'll find a way this year. Even though, man, Shaka's got to start living life a little less dangerously here.
Let's go to the 11 line here. Tata, let me bring you in for the 11 line here. More potential first-round matchups. Iowa State against the Seton Hall team that Joby just mentioned. Florida gets in. TCU and Utah State in. I mean, you know, I just want to be sick here, but, you know, do you agree with this, or is this just disgusting?
No, I think these are all in the conversation, and I agree that they've all kind of – well, the three on the left – well, let's take them one at a time. TCU, as Joby said, it's not like they're falling. They are falling. Mm-hmm. Seton Hall, obviously, as Matt learned the hard way, is rising, and the way Iowa State has been playing, I think that is a 6-11 upset, maybe by, like, a lot. Florida, I still don't know who the heck they are because they're this close to beating LSU, and then they fall apart, and I – think Cincinnati can take care of business, but we all know about Cincinnati in the tournament, as John can talk about for a half hour. And Utah State, as Joby said, if they don't belong in this tournament, maybe they're going to be playing with house money. And obviously, we've seen Louisville the past month has been playing very below average. So I think those are all possible 11-6 upsets.
Meanwhile, come back to the bracket and notice which team is conspicuously absent here. That would be the NC State Wolfpack, who...
Well, we haven't finished the bracket yet, Sleeka. We haven't finished it, so we'll see what happens. But first of all, Joby, I want to address Utah State with you. I know that there's an eye test problem with them. But I also know that when you look at this, compared to the other garbage we're looking at, like, I'll put up TCU...
Like Alabama, right, Temple. Like, I mean, I can honestly give arguments for Alabama. Yeah.
25 wins stands for something this year when nobody else is doing anything, and you're talking about 16 and 14 Texas teams and 18 and 12 TCU teams.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go on pure wins, what about Belmont? You know,
Belmont.
I mean, exactly. That's my point. Is they're Belmont? You know, they're Belmont without wins over Lipscomb. You know, they have one Nevada win. You know, and so, but anyway, yeah. My new abbreviation, as Chad knows, when I entered today was they're not USU, they're U sucks. You know, that is just spell it out. That's how it is. I despise their, I don't think their defense is any good. I hate these commentators saying it. Their defense stinks. Stinks.
I'll even give Belmont a little credit.
Their offense takes advantage of defenses that stink. Colorado's defense stinks. Nevada's defense does stink, by the way. Okay. I love the Martin twins, but the defense is woeful.
Okay, well let's move on to the 12 line here. I want to get the last few teams up here. And you just mentioned Belmont, Joby. It's kind of funny because the next team voted in by us, the next highest rated team actually was Belmont. I'm going to reveal the 12 line one at a time here. So right there below Utah State, there is Belmont. You want to make that argument. Tytel, let me ask you, if Belmont loses to Murray State in the OVC Finals, is there an at-large possibility for the Bruins?
I think there's an at-large possibility for Belmont or Murray State, whoever loses. And I've seen all the bracketology I've been looking at has Belmont, like, in, but you can't count on John Morant. Like, he's one of the best players in the country, and I think that Belmont has experience of getting swept by a team who they might face in their conference tourney. Like, this is far from a done deal in the OVC.
Right. David, I'm going to bring you back in here to show you the first two of our first four games. It's in the South region. They'll be matching up against Villanova. And you're ready to cringe here, but the game actually would be Arizona State against Clemson.
Well, I mean, neither one of them really belong in the round of 64, so why not, I guess. And you're getting down the slim pickings, and you know teams that I think would Arizona State, you just don't know what they're going to do on any given night. Clemson, you know what they're going to do; they're going to lose by two.
Yeah. That's a good point. Tytel, don't we want teams in here that at least will be competitive and give us good games?
I just want ASU to win so they can lose to a team called the Wildcat in one of their next two games.
How about that? Okay. Matt, I'm going to show you the last two teams, the last two first four teams in, there's going to be a scream and an applaud, I think, here from what I remember. But here it is, the final team going up against Maryland here in the East region. Furman against NC State.
Oh! Hey, I am pro-Paladin, so I am glad to see them there. I think I still had NC State in my top 55, which is now what I can say for a couple other at-large teams. I have Arizona State, I have TCU, but I'm glad to see Furman in. And if nothing else, I want to see, I'm hoping for chaos too. I want Belmont in. Murray State win the OVC on open Belmont in. I hope if need be, I would like to see Lipscomb in if need expand. Like, we know these teams in the major conferences suck. Please give me some of these mid-major teams instead.
Well, Stalika, you addressed earlier that NC State was not on the field. They did make it as the very last team in. They don't belong, though, do they?
Yeah, let me be very clear. I was certainly not complaining about Furman's inclusion in there because I do think the Paladins are certainly worthy of an at-large bid. And as we'll get into later on in our Championship Week video notebook, there is a two-bid Atlantic Sun that is also on the table as well. I would much rather have a Lipscomb should they lose to Liberty instead of NC State, who I can assure you, if they are the last team in, they would not be voted in, not with that non-conference strength of schedule. Our committee would never allow it.
I don't think the real committee would either. Not that.
That's one of those when you start debating teams individually, that they can hold up well.
Yeah. That Lipscomb team you mentioned was the other 12 seed in the Midwest region there, matched up against Vodtech. Real tough matchup for Vodtech if that happens.
Buzz.
David, your thoughts?
Playing Lipscomb, Matt.
David, I'm going to show the top four teams out and in order, and the top team out just barely missed NC State by one or two votes. So that was Creighton, believe it or not, followed by Alabama, Temple, and Indiana.
I don't see it. Who was it, Creighton, Indiana, and who else?
Creighton, Alabama, Temple, Indiana, in that four-team order.
NC State just does not belong in.
So who do you put in of those four?
Here's my thing about Indiana is I know that their record is way out of whack, but when you look at their winning percentage against teams in the field, it's actually on par or better than what everybody else on the bubble has. We made that point the other night. NC State's is zero. Well, they beat Auburn and lost everybody else.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pull up Indiana versus NC State here. Tytel, let me go to you on this question. You look at that record versus the board, Indiana 5-10, NC State 3-8, and a lot more quadruple one for Indiana. But they're 15-14 overall.
This would have been a great blind resume. This one's fantastic. So a couple things. One, like, the tier three losses are gonna hurt the Wolfpack. It's a shame because they were they're 6 points away from not having anything below a tier one loss. And for Indiana, like, how do you sweep the Spartans and have all these other tier one wins? Although somehow Penn State, which I still don't believe, and they've just lost so many games. I understand they're not losing bad games. But just the sheer number of them, Joby, I assume that's going to be too many.
No, it kills me. Well, and here's the thing, Chad. I'm looking. You do not have Illinois entered. The Illinois win tonight entered in, right?
That did not make – that did not go far.
Okay, so they're actually at 16-14.
Thank you.
That is a big deal. Now, not to always go back to J&G. The J&G actually moves Indiana to 51, which would be the third team out with the Illinois win. That puts them in the ball game. They still need to take care of business against Rutgers this weekend. But if they do, then I think it is a very good chance at 17-14. They are starting to give above that 500 line. It'd be nice to win one, lose one in the Big Ten tournament. I think that the Hoosiers would get the nod because they're not afraid, as evidenced by Vanderbilt last year, et cetera, that if you're three games above 500, in particular Texas with the two games, they're willing to – is unique. They're willing to take that chance and putting them, though the committee hasn't done this yet a whole lot except USC a few years ago, this is, in my opinion, Joby Fortson's opinion, a great play-in game type resume if Indiana were to crawl their way in. Well, I don't know who on our committee had NC State in the field. If David's ragging, I'm the ACC homer, and I had him three spots. I don't know who had NC State.
Joby, I got it. The one issue I do have with Indiana is we talk about all these great wins and everything, but they did not have a great non-conference strength of schedule. Only 160. They played a lot of garbage down here in quadrant four in the non-conference. Yeah, they played Louisville, Marquette, and Duke. And Arkansas, but that was it. All the others, everything else they've really done has been in conference there.
Who's our number one overall seed? Virginia. Okay. What is Virginia's out of conference schedule? 170.
Okay.
Just point out.
But Virginia's not on the bubble. Virginia's not on the bubble.
One, mm-hmm. I think it's okay.
Okay. Let me reveal a few more teams here that did get votes. Matt, I'm just going to show them to you right now here. We've got UNC Greensboro, St. Mary's, Murray State, Liberty, and Georgetown. We're beyond the bubble here, aren't we, at this point?
Yeah, no, that's the one. I voted for Murray State and Liberty. Liberty, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but hey, I am out on the bottom, like the mediocre major conference team. So, hey, anything and anything is a good alternative for me out of that.
There were three other teams that actually did get votes in the top 55. They actually all made in on the 13 line as auto bid winners, though. They were UC Irvine, New Mexico State, and Old Dominion. Yale also making in the 13 line. And I'm going to very quickly reveal the last three lines here. The 14 seeds going up against the three seeds in the first round, Vermont against LSU, Hofstra against Purdue, Georgia State against Houston, South Dakota State against Texas Tech.
Might be a short stay for Will White.
On the 15 line, we've got Wright State getting Michigan, Loyola Chicago getting Kentucky, Montana getting Michigan State, and Radford against North Carolina. And finally, on the 16 line here, Virginia's first round opponent, Joby, is going to be the winner of an SFPA-Iona play-in game. Prairie View Norfolk State winner plays Duke, Sam Houston State against Gonzaga, and a very dangerous Bucknell team against Tennessee if they can find a way to win the Patriot League. But
that's a dangerous Sam Houston State team that I'm surprised is a 16 and not higher.
They have a lot of bad losses, actually. We want to start debating the 16 line. We can do that. But they lost at home to Central Arkansas yesterday as well. So on that note, run through each of you here for any final thoughts. And David, David, we'll go to you last. Let's start with Stalica.
We talked about Xavier being a hot team a couple weeks ago in the Big East as far as a five-game winning streak. But at the same time, look at what the Creighton Blue Jays have done to suddenly get to the doorstep themselves. They've won four straight games, which would be at DePaul, at home against Georgetown, at Marquette, which is a major game changer, and also an overtime game against Providence where the Blue Jays finally get some good luck and survive at home in overtime despite a collapse in regulation. Creighton has had, let's just say it, they've been pretty unlucky at times during the Big East where they've had collapses against the likes of Seton Hall and also Xavier, which started the Musketeers run. But could this be the anti-Greg McDermott team that actually turns it on come March and possibly makes a late bid themselves?
Yeah, and unlike in both Indiana and NC State, a very good non-conference strength schedule there for Creighton. So I like that note there. Matt, how about you next?
Now, one I was shocked to see so far in the field, given their free fall, that's TCU. And I know they've been in our field basically this entire time, so it might be where it's a little late catching up. But, Matt, like 6-11 in the Big 12, the only two good wins over Iowa State, so it might just be that's a bogey team for Iowa State. And even more that, like, you – one more, I think they lose at Texas for 6-12. I just don't see that TCU team getting in, especially at 6-12.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that they're in a must-win at Texas, but Texas is in a must-win as well. So, and I don't think TCU can do that this weekend. Joby?
Very interesting. We kind of talked about the path to the number ones. Let's look at the path to number twos a little bit. Because that, you know, that 2-15 situation is a lot better than 3-14 by just looking at the teams down there. Hofstra is dangerous. Vermont is dangerous. Less so, though, you can never ride on anybody. Radford, I think, has a little spunk here. I think there is a gap between the 14 and 15s if we get to that point. Because you could see Vermont on that level of with the other 13s, and Georgia State's pretty good. That run to get those bids, I look at LSU, I look at Purdue, I look at Houston. And, you know, yes, Texas Tech and K-State can make the run through the Big 12 tournament, but those teams, they are in a unique position to try to jump up with various bogeys on their resume. LSU with the recent loss, Purdue with the preseason, and LSU with the lack of strength of schedule. It'll be interesting to see how those teams do if, for instance, one Michigan team falls off, because the victory and the win to get to the 2 seed could be very valuable in order to not sweat out the first round.
Tytel.
So I want to talk about a team that's not amongst the 68. When teams make the leap from non-D1 to D1, I always assume it's going to be rough sailing at first. It was for North Alabama. They lost at North Florida in the Atlantic Sun Tourney on Monday, 10-22. Their season is done. On the other hand, Cal Baptist. This time last year, they were losing at home to Dixie State in the PacWest Conference Tourney, and Milan Akwa was a point guard who was coming off the bench for a 19-loss Washington State team. Fast forward a year, they went 9-5 in non-conference play. They started WAC play with a 6-point home win over a New Mexico State team who's so good that they haven't lost since that game. They've gone 15-0. Tonight, the Lancers got the 3-point overtime road win at Rio Grande Valley. They're 16-13 this year. Akwa, in the New Mexico State game back in January, 36 points, a career high. He's a sophomore. He's already the best player in this conference. Bravo, Cal Baptist, exceeding everyone's expectations.
And their season's not done. They're going to be playing in – I think it's a CIT they're going to be playing in. They've already announced that they're going to accept an invite. So they are eligible for that. And I guess on that note, David, let's see if we can get you out of the vacuum cleaner here.
Okay, just real quick, a couple teams that we didn't talk about that probably won't get in but are playing like tournament caliber teams. One is Xavier. I know that they're coming off of a loss. You got to watch them. But how about a couple of these teams in the American? Memphis and Wichita really coming on strong in the latter part of the season. And the American in particular, when you look at the way that those programs are trending and what they have next year, are we looking at 3 or 4 teams in the rankings for the American next year? And watch out for Wichita. And you got to watch out for Wichita and Memphis in that American tournament, if you're Houston, Cincinnati, or UCF, some of those teams that have already locked up bids.
Especially Memphis, because the tournament is in Memphis this year.
Yes.
But I guess on that note, let me pull this down here. And I do want to take the chance to thank everybody for joining us. This has been our Bracket Rundown show. We're going to have lots of more Championship Week video notebooks. I think we'll have one more Bracket Rundown next week before the end of the season, or at least before Selection Sunday. But on behalf of John Stalica, Matt Sikowski, Joby Fortson, John Dytel, and the puppet in the vacuum cleaner, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.